Here's Pastor Rick Warren.
But here's something I want you to notice. The brothers have the wrong motive. We're going to make some money, so let's sell our brother into slavery. And the consequences are going to be incredibly painful to Joseph. In fact, they're going to alter the rest of his life. But God fitted it into a plan for good. And this setback, where he's sold into slavery, is actually going to be a stepping stone to Joseph's future glory and greatness.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we continue with a brand new series called How God Turns Setbacks into Comebacks. We're so glad that you've joined us for this encouraging series. And if you have a friend in mind who needs these teachings, be sure to invite them with a text or phone call right now to listen along with you. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a study resource that will show you how God can help you get back up and dust yourself off, even after a major setback in life. It's called the Re-Energize Your Life Guided Experience book, and you can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000. That's PastorRick.com. or the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called When Others Keep Setting You Back.
Now, today, we're going to look at the life of one of the most important characters in the Bible. His name is Joseph. Now, I'm not talking about the husband of Mary in the New Testament, but the son of Jacob in the book of Genesis. Joseph is so important that he gets 14 chapters of the Bible written about his life. It's in Genesis 37 to chapter 50. Now, we can't cover all of his life, obviously, but we are going to look at how he handled the many setbacks in his life, and I believe it's going to encourage you and give you hope to face this next week. Now, the story of Joseph and how God took him from being a prisoner in a pit to being a prince in a palace and becoming the second most powerful man in the world in that day is one of the great comeback stories of history. Now, he started off as a scared little kid, and then he has a series of seven major setbacks. But God uses all of these setbacks to orchestrate a spectacular comeback where Joseph ends up saving two entire nations, Israel and Egypt, from famine and starvation. You know, without this guy, Joseph, there would be no nation of Israel and no Jews today. So this is a pretty important person. And we're going to look at today when other people keep causing you to have setbacks, keep setting you back. And, you know, we all love the story of a great comeback. Comebacks inspire us. But if you don't have to struggle for the success, there's no sweetness to it. And the truth is, there are no comebacks without first having setbacks. Setbacks are a part of life. We have health setbacks, financial setbacks, we have relational setbacks, we have career setbacks, emotional setbacks, many, many other kinds of setbacks. We've been looking at different kinds week after week. Now, one of the things that makes setbacks so difficult to handle, listen to this, is because we can't see what God sees. See, God can see the whole picture. He can see the end of the story. He knows how it's all going to work out. So he's not worried. But we worry because we don't know how it's going to end out. We don't see the pieces of the puzzle, how they all fit together. I can't see the way that setbacks in my life are actually stepping stones to getting me to where God wants me to be. Now listen, setbacks are the stepping stones to our goal if we trust God and respond correctly. Now, I would like for you to write down that sentence. Would you write this down? Setbacks are stepping stones. Setbacks are stepping stones if we trust God. Setbacks are stepping stones if we trust God. They're the stepping stones to where God wants to take you. They're not impediments. They're actually the pathway to where God wants to take you. God uses both open doors and closed doors to direct us and to get us to where he wants us to be. And there's no better illustration of that truth than the life of Joseph. Now, let me give you some background. God promised a man named Abraham that he was going to build a great nation through his family. Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had a son named Jacob. And God later changed Jacob's name to Israel, and that's where we get the nation of Israel and all the Israelites. Now, Jacob had 12 sons. He had 12 sons from four different women. So this family, a little mixed up. has a lot of complicated relationships that you would expect to find in a blended family with four moms. Only this family is super blended. So you've got 12 half-brothers and at least one sister, whose name was Dinah, from four different moms. Now, that's a recipe for confusion, and it's a recipe for competition. The second of the youngest of those 12 brothers was named Joseph. Now, he's smart, he's good-looking, he's talented, he's a dreamer, he's favored by his parents, even pampered by his parents, and he's hated by his siblings. Now, this brings us to the very first of seven major setbacks in Joseph's life that were actually stepping stones that God used to get him to another country, Egypt, and put him in a position that would eventually save his own family and two entire nations as well. Now, as we go through this list together of seven setbacks in Joseph's life, I want you to see how many of these you identify with, and maybe realize that God has wanted to use these setbacks in your life as stepping stones, that what you have thought was actually bad, that God wants to use for good in your life. So let's go through these together. First, Joseph's first setback was growing up in a home where he was ignored and mistreated by his siblings. The Bible tells us this in Genesis 37, verses 3 to 5. Now, Jacob loved Joseph, that's his dad. Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his other children. That's not a good thing, because Joseph had been born in Jacob's old age. He was also born to his favorite wife, Rachel. So one day, Jacob gave Joseph a special ornamented robe. People have read it as a multicolored robe, but actually, it's kind of more like it was bedazzled. It might have had jewels on it. It was an ornamented robe, none like any other. And so Joseph gets his special coat because he's his daddy's boy. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved him more than he loved them, they hated Joseph. They would not even speak to him, or they would not even acknowledge him. Okay, he's the second from the youngest in 12 brothers. And when Joseph told his 11 brothers about a great dream from God, they hated him even more. Now, some of you grew up in a home kind of like this. You were pushed around. You were put down. You were ignored. Maybe you were teased. Maybe you were even hated. And you had a tough time growing up. And your childhood was not happy. Maybe one parent liked you, but the other didn't like you. Or maybe one parent was absent and aloof or alcoholic. And maybe you had brothers or sisters who took advantage of you all the time. And your home life wasn't that happy growing up. And maybe you've always felt inferior to everybody else. Maybe you were the runt of the family, the youngest one, the last one. There was picking on you. But for whatever reason, your family of origin was not very happy. It was filled with a lot of pain and a lot of competition or maybe conflict. Have you ever thought about the fact that maybe God wants to use that in your life in ways that you've never even thought of? Have you ever considered that maybe God wants to use the pain in your growing up to shape you in a good way, to be sensitive to other people in their kind of pain, same kind of pain, that maybe God would want to give you a ministry to help others growing up in families like that? God never wastes a hurt. This was the first setback. He grew up in a family where nobody liked him except his dad, and his dad liked him too much, and that made him, the partiality, the favoritism, made them hate Joseph even more. Now, here's the second setback in Joseph's life. It was being tossed into a pit of rejection. Now, Joseph's relationship with his brothers goes from bad to worse. In fact, it got homicidal. And in Genesis 37, verses 18 to 20, it says this: one day, when Joseph's brothers were out in the field, they saw Joseph coming toward him from a distance, and they made plans to kill him. They're going to kill their brother. "Here comes that dreamer," they exclaimed. "Come on, let's kill him. Let's throw him into a deep pit. We can tell our father that a wild animal attacked and ate him. And then we'll see what became of all this great dreams of his." Wow, that's pretty brutal. They're going to kill their young brother because they can't stand him.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
It doesn't matter how much you work out or how healthy you may eat. If you're not feeding and exercising your spirit, you're going to feel run down and tired. You'll run out of gas. You've got to do more than just take care of your body. You've got to energize your spirit. And the best way to do that is with God's Word. That's why we've put together an incredible new tool called Re-Energize Your Life. In this first-of-its-kind guide created from Pastor Rick's most practical teaching, you will learn everything you need to know to re-energize your life the way God intended. This brand new, high-quality, vegan leather-bound, four-color journal experience book is a user-friendly, interactive powerhouse. Its eye-pleasing pages are packed with full-color devotionals, verses, and Bible teachings that will dramatically impact your spiritual life forever. Don't let your inner man or inner woman settle for a spiritually bland existence. Reach for more with this brand new tool called Re-Energize Your Life by Pastor Rick Warren. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the book, Re-Energize Your Life by Pastor Rick Warren. Call 800-600-5004 to get yours, or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. By the way, all this month when you support Daily Hope, a generous listener is going to match your gift up to $50,000. But we only have till midnight on June 30th. After that, we lose any part of the grant we haven't used. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get yours, so don't wait.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, winner of the NRB Billy Graham Award for Excellence in Christian Communications. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Now, Joseph's relationship with his brothers goes from bad to worse. In fact, it got homicidal. And in Genesis 37, verses 18 to 20, it says this: "One day, when Joseph's brothers were out in the field, they saw Joseph coming toward him from a distance, and they made plans to kill him. They're going to kill their brother. 'Here comes that dreamer,' they exclaimed. 'Come on, let's kill him. Let's throw him into a deep pit. We can tell our father that a wild animal attacked and ate him, and then we'll see what became of all this great dreams of his.'" Wow, that's pretty brutal. They're going to kill their young brother because they can't stand him. It says in verse 21 to 24, "Then Reuben," now Reuben was one of the older brothers in the bunch, so he's got a little more level head. Reuben said, "Let's not kill him. Let's just throw him into the pit here in the wilderness. And that way we won't shed any blood." Well, you're still going to kill him. We won't shed any blood. And he said this secretly, planning to save Joseph and send him back to his father. Well, they thought that was a good idea. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers stripped him of his favorite robe, the bedazzled one, and they tossed him into the pit, which was a dry well without any water in it. This is a setback. Would you agree? It's a setback. Your entire family has turned against you, all your siblings. One of the most painful experiences in life is the experience of being rejected. Now, I doubt you've been tossed in a pit, but all of us have faced rejection in some ways. This is pretty radical for Joseph. They want to kill him. But they want to leave him in a pit without water and then let him die slowly in the desert. Now, I doubt that's been that severe for you. But you've probably gone through experiences in life where you were rejected by somebody, where somebody who was supposed to love you didn't, and they just tossed you aside. They threw you in the pit of rejection. They turned their back on you. They walked away. They left you high and dry and without any resources, with no way out, and you're nothing to fend for yourself. You're in a pit in the desert, and they've walked away to have dinner with somebody else. That's a setback. And it's painful. And if you've had that kind of rejection, I'm sorry. I really am. As your pastor, I'm sorry. Now, when this happened to Joseph, he was only a teenager. He was just 17 years old. It's pretty hard to have your whole family gang up on you like that. That's trauma. You'd expect them to have post-traumatic stress disorder. But then comes a third setback, and some of you have had this one happen to you too. Maybe you had it happen to you at work. Here's the third setback. Being sold out for money. Being sold out for money. Some of you had this one happen at work. Genesis 37, verses 26 to 28 says this. After they threw Joseph in the pit, the brothers sat down to eat dinner. They're just going to ignore it. But then they saw a caravan of traders passing by, headed to Egypt with camels loaded down with spices and balm and myrrh. Balm is like medicine that they would use, and myrrh is used for embalming. I remember they gave Jesus myrrh at his birth, which was a symbol of he was going to die one day. Then Judah, who's another one of the older brothers, said to his brothers, "Hey guys, we won't gain anything if we just let our brother die in this pit. So, you know, why don't we make some money on this? And we'll all share in the murder cover-up. So why don't we do this? Let's don't kill him. Let's sell off our brother to these traders. We'll make some money here." And all the brothers thought that was a good idea. Okay, let me stop right here. All the brothers thought that was a good idea. The majority is often wrong. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Just because everybody thinks it's right doesn't make it right. Right is right if it's right. Wrong is wrong if it's wrong. Doesn't matter how many people say something's right. Morality is not determined by majority. All the brothers thought it was a good thing. Yeah, well, they were all wrong. So they sold Joseph for 20 shekels. Now, let me stop here. They sold Joseph for 20 shekels of traders. In the book of Exodus, it tells us that slaves were sold in those days for 30 shekels. So they're not even making going rate. They sell him for a bargain. They sell their brother for 20 shekels. That's not even what a normal slave would be paid. They sold Joseph for 20 shekels to the traders who took him to Egypt. This is just getting worse. Now, this is pretty callous. But you know, today in the business world, selling out for money happens all the time. Partners sell out partners. Some of you have had a partner cheat on you or sell you out. Bosses sell out their employees. Managers sell out those who work under their care. Owners sell out their companies to make a profit. Relationships are often tossed away quickly in order to make a buck. Some people even walk out of marriages in order to make more money. But here's something I want you to notice. The brothers have the wrong motive for what they're doing. Okay, they said, we're going to make some money, so let's sell our brother into slavery. And the consequences are going to be incredibly painful to Joseph. In fact, they're going to alter the rest of his life. But in spite of the fact, wrong thing to do, wrong motivation, but God fitted it into a plan for good. And this setback where he's sold into slavery is actually going to be a stepping stone to Joseph's future glory and greatness. We'll come to that in a minute. Now, the fourth setback that Joseph experiences is this, losing your identity. You know, being secretly sold and taken away to a foreign country is going to erase Joseph's identity. Back home, everybody's going to think he's dead. People are going to mourn him. And in their minds, Joseph no longer exists. In their minds, his life is over. The Joseph they know is gone. His identity has been erased. Verse 31 to 35 says this, then the brothers took Joseph's robe, the bedazzled one, and they slaughtered a goat, and they dipped the robe in blood. This is quite a system here. And then they took the robe back to their father and said, now we found this coat. Does it belong to your son? Now notice they didn't say, does it belong to our brother? It's your son, not our brother. Does it belong to your son? And Jacob recognized it and cried out, yes, yes, some wild animal must have killed Joseph and torn him to pieces. Then Jacob sobbed. He sobbed for a long time, and everybody tried to comfort him, and he said, I'll grieve this loss until the day I die. You know, this next setback may be one that some of you've had. You've had your identity stolen from you, and you're still grieving about it. You lost your identity when the divorce happened. You lost your identity as a husband. You lost your identity as a wife. You lost your identity as a father. You lost your identity as a mother. You lost your job. You lost your identity as a CEO or as a small business owner. And something that you found your identity in was taken from you. And you're never going to get it back. I'm sorry. As your pastor who loves you, I'm sorry. That is a big setback. But the setback does not have to be the end of the story. And as we've seen over and over again in this series with different people, now we're seeing with Joseph, that is not the end of the story. Joseph is going to be given a brand new identity, an even better identity. Now here's the fifth setback that Joseph faced, being forced to take a job you don't want. Many of you know that one. You couldn't find the job you wanted, and you've had to take a job and settle for less than the best. You know, in a matter of days, Joseph goes from being a pampered son in his father's home to being a slave in somebody else's home. He's now doing work he never expected to do. He's now spending his days in ways he never expected in a foreign country. He's an immigrant. He's an indentured slave. Verse 39 says this, "Meanwhile in Egypt, the traders sold Joseph to be a slave of Potiphar, a man who was an officer of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt."
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know that this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell us about today's special offer.
It doesn't matter how much you work out or how healthy you eat. If you're not feeding and exercising your spirit, you're going to feel run down and tired. You're going to run out of gas. Maybe you've been feeling that way lately. Often it's not what you eat, it's what's eating you. And the truth is, you've got to do more than just take care of your body. You've got to energize your spirit. Now, the best way to do that is to get into God's Word. It's the soul food. It's the spiritual food for your soul. And that's why I put together a new interactive guide called Re-Energize Your Life. This resource will help you learn everything you need to know to re-energize your life the way God intended. And so what it does is just step by step, you begin a journey of personal renewal. And it's a hands-on guide, very practical, to take you at your own pace. You don't have to rush this, okay? This is not a book or a journal that you go through fast. In fact, I encourage you to stop and spend time in each section where you need the most encouragement. You'll not only benefit from the biblical wisdom that's included, but you're going to learn how to apply it to your life in practical ways. Now, let me just mention a couple of things that you're going to discover in re-energizing your life. You're going to learn the steps to how to let Jesus lighten your load. Does that sound good? You need your load lightened? Well, we talk about it in re-energizing your life. You're going to learn the three biblical steps for managing stress, the way Jesus did. You're going to learn five ways to build margin into your life. Very important principle. And even the principle of the Sabbath is a margin principle. You're going to learn how to determine what matters most. A lot of the confusion and fatigue comes in your life is because we give major attention to minor things. Not everything in your life matters. Not everything has to get done. We can help you learn to clarify what the difference between what's urgent and what's important. There's a whole lot more that I don't have time to get into, but the pages of Re-Energize Your Life journal are packed with full-color devotionals and Bible verses and teaching that's going to dramatically impact your spiritual life, not just today, but forever. So don't miss out. I hope you'll get this resource that we want to provide to you through Daily Hope.
Call 800-600-5004 to get yours. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get in on this great opportunity, so don't wait. And remember, all this month, every financial gift received will be matched by a very generous donor up to $50,000. Don't miss out on a chance to have your financial gift doubled today. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.